On the broadcast with us, as mentioned, a former political science professor, someone who's studied, well, the past and elections and coalitions and, well, the fourth national unity government. Let's talk a little bit about that. Marco Navarro Gini, how are you, sir?
I am well, thank you. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Well, it was quite the election and the results. People are still unsure of what's going to happen. But you say that there is perhaps precedent, but not necessarily in this country.
Yes. You know, the first thing that we have to keep in mind, right, is that the job of the crown, in this case, the lieutenant governor, is to ensure that her majesty has a stable, functioning government.
Right.
And that is, at present, in danger, in a sense, right? It's a bit of a constitutional crisis, if you think about it. Hmm. And we don't have precedent for this in Canada, but the Israeli legislature, the Knesset, has seen something like this before. In fact, a few times, but the most memorable, perhaps, is the one from July of 1984, in which a very similar situation, the Likud and the Labour parties were locked in a contest. The balance of power was in the hands of a couple of small and, dare I say, radical parties, one of which was a religious radical party who wanted to have basically the run of the country. Mm-hmm. And this is part of the problem with small parties holding the balance of power. Right? They have a disproportionate amount of power, and that is, in a sense, undemocratic, that the people who voted for six representatives can indeed overwhelm the government with their demands. And so the two parties in the middle, so to speak, did what nobody thought they could ever happen. They came together and formed a coalition government, the Likud and Labour. And the swap arrangement is also interesting because they worked out a deal in which they would share a cabinet in equal parts, so 10 members of the cabinet, five each party, and they would have one party would have the prime ministership for 2 years, and the second party would have the foreign affairs ministry, and then they would at the end of the 2 years swap. And believe it or not, this was during a very, very difficult period in Israel in the early 80s with the war in Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And they managed not only to sustain that arrangement, they went the full year and they managed together to pull out of Lebanon, which was not a small feat in that government. So how is this relevant to New Brunswick? Well, it's an unstable situation. And New Brunswick doesn't have, you know, enemies massing at its borders to attack them, at least not yet. But it remains nonetheless that it is, from a fiscal point of view, a province that it finds itself on the brink of bankruptcy. And this is a huge issue. So stability here for the sake of investment and for the sake of the working economy of New Brunswick, this would be a significant thing to do, because then the government would not be beholden to the small demands of the two parties on the edges. Which is not to say, by the way, that that they have no place to be there, and I'm not making an argument that they shouldn't have a voice.
Right.
What I'm saying is they shouldn't have a disproportionate amount of power in the governing of New Brunswick.
You know what I find interesting about that is when in the debate, Blaine Higgs says, well, when we were defeated, the Liberal leader came to me and asked me to be the Minister of Finance, asked me to cross the floor. But in effect, I jokingly said yesterday, well, maybe if Blaine Higgs was the Finance Minister of the Liberal government, that might perhaps be a way through this or a solution. And I like your idea, your thought, if they could come to an agreement, that certainly does avoid heading back into an election within a few months, perhaps.
Yeah, I had the same thought at the time when I saw the results as well. So, and I bet you that you and I are probably not the only ones who have had that idea cross our minds. Hmm. So it's important to have a stable government, and surely that would be the more stable and durable, perhaps, permutation of alliances. It would be a coalition of the middle. And here's another benefit I'm thinking about is that, you know, voters have a very cynical view of politics and politicians. And here is a chance for the politicians to put partisanship aside and say, we're going to do this. And as difficult as it might be, we're going to do this for the good of New Brunswick. I'm also reminded of a line in the Ivany report, of course, which is not in New Brunswick, but generally speaking applies to the region. The Ivany report called for a wartime government in time of peace. In other words, a coalition of parties to form government, the way that we normally would have done in a time of war when there is a real crisis, right? Yep. And so, again, you know, we're not in a situation of war, but surely I think that the situation in which New Brunswick finds itself is difficult enough to consider this option.
It is something to think about, something to chew on, and perhaps, Marco, this is something that might make its way to the Lieutenant Governor's office in New Brunswick. Thank you for your perspective. And again, now I know that as a former political science professor, another nuanced layer to the person who is Marco Navarro-Gini.
Thanks very much.
All right,
I appreciate
sir. You take care. Marco has mentioned former poli-sci prof. He currently sits, though, as the fourth, I believe it's the fourth president and CEO of AIMS, the Atlantic Institute of Market Studies, or for Market Studies. It just makes sense. Kind of makes sense if they could agree to do that. But that's the problem. Politicians would have to agree.